All right. So I'm looking at, I want to show you guys something. This is going to be our new Jesse Stevenson archive. Now we have another chap who also has 96 through 99 material. So we have an embarrassment of riches that I can't thank you guys enough for. What is that on my, do I have something red on my nose? And by the way, why is everything so fucking dark? And another thing, wait a minute. I have to do one of these. It needs to get brighter. It's a little bit better. So maybe it's not up yet. I think he sent me a link. Okay, yeah. You know what? It probably isn't up yet. But we're this close to having the new 96 through 99. In other words, what this is non-syndicated material. This is KFI only. Just as the Miami stuff was Miami only. We have 1 hour, I think, of Minnesota. We don't have anything from Atlanta. And I know I've got Atlanta stuff, so I got to go digging through that. And that'd be a beautiful thing. And that we'll get that stuff on the air. Now, just as a heads up, you guys were brilliant in helping out with the Matt Blake archives, the Miami archives, in dating them and in logging them. And I would sure appreciate help from the BSPs on dating and logging the new Jesse Stevenson stuff for L.A. And anything else we get in there, I will also do that. And I know Lauren will, and Jane will, and Timmy will, and Billy will, and Susie will, and Eddie will, and Louie. You know, they're all there. So we'll be doing that. What else? I think that's it. Listen to today's show. I was cracking my ass up at Frank Gray's I Remember the Hershey Squirts. I don't know. It made me laugh. Dog hitchhikes 900 miles after its family left for vacation. I hate seeing these stories. Being loyal is a trait. Hitchhiking more than 900 miles across Australia without the pet's family on vacation without their pet. The three-year-old terrier traveled all the way from Queensland to Snowtown. I've heard of this, and I've seen it. I worked at an animal hospital as a kid, as a teenager, and we had a dog escape, and it made its way 3 miles back to its own home. And boy, it was not a good thing, because the owner called the hospital, talked to Dr. Job, and then Dr. Job comes back and fucking laid into us and was like, what the hell are you goddamn kids? And the owner had called up and said, the dog that I left at your hospital, yeah, it's back here at the house. And I think it had gone in for some kind of a fracture or I don't know what, but Rusty is still in Snowtown waiting to head back to Queensland to his family. This isn't the first time the pup has ventured out. According to the family, Rusty took another trek the last time they vacationed, but only made it about 160 miles away. Oh, bullshit. Bullshit. No fucking way. I don't buy that. I don't buy this shit at all. In fact, I'm going to say so. I'll tell you what, man. I saw a story that broke my heart. Some dumbass fucking family had a dog. It was an older dog. It was a gray dog, gray-haired dog, you know, a senior dog. And they left it on the front lawn of a animal hospital, I think, thinking they'd done a great thing. Dogs are pack animals, and so they are in a pack. And when they are taken out of their pack and they're put into a new pack, it's an extremely traumatic thing for them. And some of them don't survive it. Some of them just waste away, man. And I saw this happen with a collie and this stupid motherfucking, I won't even say, but they were friends of friends of friends. And they divorced. It happens, okay? And neither one took the dog. So they just gave it away. They'd had this animal for 15 years. And this dog never recovered. Now, I know some animals do, but it's not a sure thing, man. It's not, you know, it's not like, well, just dump him on the front lawn and somebody will take care of him. People treat animals like they're toys. In other words, oh, I'm done with it now. I don't want to play with it anymore. And they just get rid of it, abandon it. Like, you know, our cat Brea was who knows what happened? I have no idea what happened to that cat, but this is a 14-year-old cat that was left out on the fucking streets. Maybe it got out. I don't know. Nobody going to want to take that cat. I have to be honest with you. If you think I'm some kind of a great guy, I got Brea. We rescued her thinking she was 9. She was old, but not, you know, because Poncho was 10. Or no, Poncho was approaching 9 years of age, I think 8 or 9. Poncho was a goddamn strappingly healthy cat. But Brea, it turned out, was 14 with all kinds of health issues. Had I known that, I wouldn't have adopted her. So, like I say, just in case you think I'm a swell guy, when I found out she was a 9-year-old, and they said, thank you for taking care of one of our senior cats, I went, it's okay. It kind of touched my heart a little bit, but I had no idea that she was going to be as... Now, she's doing great. I mean, we got... But I'm telling you, man, you know, this goddamn cat is... she's an old lady. So what do you do with old people? You let them sleep and shit and whatever they do. And I say that, you know, looking mad. I ain't exactly no spring chicken, but she's like the equivalent of being in her 70s, I think, you know, if she was a human. Maybe even her 80s, but she's okay. She can get up and down and shit. She is... she's got intestinal bowel problems. She's got, all cats have kidney disease. She's got it. All cats late in life get something with the pancreas. She's got that. But she's, you know, active. And we got her on an antibiotic and we got her on a steroid. And she started actually running around the house. I ain't kidding you, man. I couldn't believe it. I said, look, she's running. She was sprinting across the living room floor. And, what else did she do? She didn't get along with Thunder, but hey, whatever the fuck. Either they will or they won't. I keep doing, look, you know, I'm away from those two cats right now, and who knows? They may be killing each other. You know, ain't nothing I can do about it. People tell me, well, get them used to each other's smell. Yeah. We've done all that shit. It ain't an easy thing, man, and it ain't cheap. It ain't fucking cheap. We've spent probably close to $2,000 on this cat, and the recommended treatment is going to be another $2,500. And they don't try to get your money. I mean, the vets have told me, they've given me all kinds of options that we could use as instead of the expensive route. I'm the guy that's made the decision. You know what you can do is you can give them, the food is good for them, and they, you know, and she'll have a few good years, all this good shit. And the thing of it is she could have cancer. I mean, that's what old cats get, too. So you got to do endoscopic analysis. I can't pronounce the actual process. And they knock them out for that. They could do exploratory surgery. Forget the surgery. No fucking way. It's really traumatic on an animal, especially when they get anesthesia, because I used to see animals coming out of anesthesia. Now, I'm told by the vets that there's been a lot of advancements since then, but it used to be back in the day, these animals were like, they didn't look good. They're throwing up, they're dizzy, they're banging into their cages. It was fucked up, man. It's one of the reasons why horses, when they broke a leg, were basically, as they say, quote unquote, destroyed. They were pang. They were, you know, the coup de grace. They were killed. Because if you try to set a horse's leg and you give the horse anesthesia, and you can imagine a horse coming out of anesthesia and the thrashing around, they'll break the leg again. Until they came up, somebody came up with a brain surgery idea. You put the animal in a sling. So the sling's hanging from the ceiling. I know a lot of, like, Melissa, I know you got horses. I don't know who's listening or watching, but I know a lot of you guys have horses. But then you know what I'm talking about. The horse is in a sling. The legs are dangling. So when the animal is coming out of the anesthesia, it's free. It's just hanging there and can't hurt itself. It's not going to bang into anything. The sling it's suspended in is strong enough. And the leg can heal once... You know, now I don't, you know, how they did it in the old days. Remember, if you ever saw Ski Biscuit,
Did you ever see Ski Biscuit?
No, I saw Sea Biscuit.
What?
It's called Sea Biscuit, son, not Ski Biscuit. What are you talking about?
I thought it was about a guy.
Well, let me guess. A guy eating a biscuit while skiing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so yeah, that's the story of Brea. The story of Brea. And when I get home from the studio, the little one, Thunder, is staring at me and laying in front of, I guess she gets it all set up, or she just laying in front of her is her bird and her mouse. These are two things on a string that I play with her. And she's just, so I'm like, okay, hold on, just a minute, hold on. So, you know, either I pour myself a drink or I don't know, get something to eat. And then I sit here and play with Thunder. Because she's like, this is the high point of her day, man. You know, chasing this bird and this mouse. It's nutty. I want to adopt a little German shepherd that lives on our street and yelps and whines because his owners leave, not for long, but maybe 3 hours in the evening, another 3 or 4 hours in the morning, but they put him out on the balcony and I can hear him. He's yelping, you know, and you know, that shit. And man, I'd take that dog in a second. It's a little, looks like a shepherd mix, a shepherd mix puppy. You know, pretty big pup. And I will walk out there and I'll look at him and go, hey, buddy, what's going on, man? And he stops and he stares at me and his ears are like up. And I'm like, you know, you're going to be okay. It's going to be all right. So I'll come back. I'll look in on you, see if you're okay. He's all, you know, staring. I would take that dog in a second, man. And I know my neighbors, they're great people, but I wanted to say to them, well, look, why don't you let me dog sit? We can bring the dog over here. And or to the house, and just it'll sit there in the front patio. You know, play. There's lots to do. Right next door to his house, so you know he's not going to freak out or anything. I don't know. Animal talk with Phil Hendry. I got animals on the mind tonight. Wait, you sick? No, Margaret. You sick. All right, I got Chris Norton. I got an idea for Chris Norton tonight here. this fucking flu, man, is insane. Blue collar betrayal. Carrier workers feel forgotten by Trump. That was his big, big fucking mouth, that motherfucker. Forget it. That I can tell you. I saw a comment. There's a Phil Hendry fan forum. The only fan page that we actually endorse, well, two. We got two fan pages we endorse. One is the BSP fan page that is run by Melissa Wolf, and the other is the Phil Hendry Fans, which is a Facebook page. The other ones I can't vouch for. I don't know. They got, you know, people that are, I know, nice people who are members, but this one guy was commenting there. I took a look at it because I didn't know I was a member. Somebody joined me. When he gets started on Trump, I tune out. I understand a lot of you guys are the same way. I don't get started on Trump except in the pre-shows and stuff. And that is a function of, you know, but the guy was saying it, and he has a right to his opinion. And I'm thinking, how the fuck can you still be in this guy's corner when he's pulling this kind of shit? Carrier was going to be the beginning of thousands of fucking jobs. Well, as it turns out, people didn't vote for him because of fucking jobs. They didn't. Not really. That was not really why people voted for Donald Trump. They didn't vote for him because of the stock market. They didn't vote for him because of America First, because of China. No. No, they did not. The reason why they voted for him is because they saw the erosion of tradition. Let's call it traditional America. They saw the erosion of their place in the American scene, the American scheme, and it was getting smaller, and it was getting more, it was a position that needed to sort of, you know, hear the other guy, and, you know, the country's changing. And somehow they thought by electing Donald Trump, he could reverse the change. Donald Trump, I mean, the best man on earth can't reverse the change. Donald Trump sure as fuck can't. He's not even close to that. That somehow Donald Trump was going to bring back apple pie, that he was going to bring back more white people, that he was going to bring back... I know a lot of people don't, you know, no, it's not about the... Yeah, it is. I know, it's, you know... You're sick and tired of all this talk about racism. I understand that people are sick and tired of being called a racist. I know it's not the nicest thing in the world to be called. I get that. And I don't necessarily attribute that to everybody, but that is what's at the heart and the fucking soul of all of this, man. You know, traditional white America losing its place, its prominent place at the end of the table. Remember how, you know, mom and dad, and then we all sat in between? And the either end of the table were like the white people. And at that table there, you know, at our, what do they call it? At our pleasure sat all the other peoples of the earth, or all the other peoples of America. Now we ain't sitting at the end table anymore. In fact, nobody is. It's more like a round table. And we're all sitting and staring at each other at that table. And some people don't like it. And the ones that don't like it voted for Donald Trump. And they're getting taken for a ride because he's not going to bring back white America. That ain't going to happen. Of all the shit that he was never, ever, ever able to do, it would be that. Now, he might have been able to bring back jobs. He might have been all that shit. But the problem is Trump is not equipped to do that. Trump is a, as he says himself, he's a media figure. He's a beacon. He's an icon. He stands for something, but he's not really the activating principle. When he stands there, there he is with his, you know, bleached hair and his whatever the fuck people see in him. And he is, and he's a successful businessman, and he's white, and he's blonde, and, you know, whatever. But he doesn't know the first goddamn thing about how to bring a fucking company back to America. He's got a lot of chutzpah. And there are guys like that down through history. They got by for a few years on their bullshit. They got by for a few years on their hot air. But even that runs out. There's no such thing as, and I've found this out from reading history, there's no such thing as a man or a woman who goes indefinitely on instinct successfully. You can start out that way. Your instincts may be right on. Your intuition may be right on. And your ability to sort of feel your way. But it doesn't go on forever. And when you are used to just trusting your instincts, they're going to begin to fail you. Or it's not that your instincts are failing necessarily, it's that the environment's changing and you have to adjust. And people like that are very rigid. And when those instincts begin to fail, then everything around you begins to come apart. If you're the leader of a country, you can well imagine. So the same thing will happen to Trump. And the only question is, will he still be president of the United States when that shit begins to fall apart on him? And you better hope he isn't. Because then they start making all the wrong decisions. Where up to that point, it might have been perceived that he was making all the right decisions. Now he can't do shit right. Now everything is wrong. And, man, it ain't cool. Ain't too cool, I can tell you that. Ann Curry. I remember I was in love with Ann Curry at one time. I wasn't in love, but I mean, I I thought she was the most gorgeous woman I'd ever seen in my life. When she was younger, she's still a beautiful woman, but I saw her on TV for the first time. I was like, God damn, is that woman beautiful. I didn't notice what day it was. I didn't notice what time it was. Late night on the last night, Stephen Colbert responded to White House Press Secretary Sanders' reasoning that President Trump isn't racist because he had a TV show. Why did NBC give him a show for a decade on TV? The press secretary used this logic to explain that Trump couldn't possibly be the villain his critics are making him out to be, and Stephen Colbert came back with this jab. She's got a point. NBC has always shown great judgment with their long-term employees before going in for the kill. Just ask Bill Cosby and Matt Lauer. Oh! And a hand comes up from behind the desk and he slaps it. That's a beautiful thing. That's funny. Colbert jokes that Trump was paid off the doctor to say he's not obese. I personally think there's something wrong there. I really do. They showed a picture of him next to Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush. Each man supposedly a different height. Ted Cruz is 5'10", Jeb Bush is 6'3", and Trump is 6'2 or 6'3". Well, Trump and Cruz were at the same height. Now, I'm not saying, I checked to see, you know, it was a slightly up angle shot, there's no question. But they were shoulder to shoulder, and it was not like that, it was just slightly up angle. They were staring, their feet were at the same place on the floor. And then there's Jeb Bush, who's towering over both of them. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I can tell you this because I've dieted and I've looked at body mass and all that shit over the last 5-6 years. And I've been, you know, back and forth, and you spend all this time looking at your own body as you are trying to lose weight. Donald, there's no fucking way that guy's 239 pounds. That is a load of shit. That's a load of shit. If he's 6'2". If he's 6'2". If he's 6 foot, it's possible. If he's my size, it's possible. He could look like that. You'd look like that if you're 6 foot, 239. Although that is a little... But Trump, let's face it, he doesn't dress to cover his, you know, obesity. He's got all those big... The pants are up to here. He's got the belt and, you know, the white... Everything's white. When he's hanging out. I don't know, there's something wrong there. What is that, man? What time does that say? Yeah, so there you go. Let that be a lesson to you. I'm watching far too much NFL channel now. It's pretty good for a guy that was going to, Chris Norton is in a bar room. Okay, club. I need the dance club. And then we need Dr. Jim Sadler. I like that sound. It's almost like he's in a hospital. All right. Here we go. I was just laughing. Austin Barker's at a sidewalk cafe. You were a first alternate delegate, weren't you, Austin?
Yes, I was, Mr. Henry. I believe in Mr. Trump, and I think that people who started out in favor of Mr. Trump and now they're complaining about him, I don't think they understand the long term. And I think that in a lot of ways they don't deserve what Mr. Trump has brought to the country. Now, I saw the article that was written by Fox News. I understand that people are saying that Trump should not get credit for Obama's economy. But let's look at it this way. He is the president of the United States. Look at the economy that he is the president of.
Yes, but it was Barack Obama's.
I know it's Barack Obama's, but...
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ow, 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 my neck. Sorry. Didn't mean to sound like a wuss, man, you know. Okay, Surfatroid, baby. Yeah, man.
Il primo marcello.
Yeah. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do not, when you have a Keurig machine, you can't put the coffee in a cup this size. This is too fucking big. This is the ideal cup because you put too much water in that shit, it tastes like shit. Which is what I did. Put too much water in that shit. What is this? Digital optical audio cable. The fuck? Okay. What does that mean? Digital optical. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. All right, man.